This morning, our devotional comes from Psalms 27, verses 1 through 6. And the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life, and whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desire of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in the pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Are there any announcements before we go to class? Our new Sunday school books are here, so be sure and get your Sunday school book before you leave today. Let's go to class.
Continue on today in the Old Testament in Haggai chapter 2 verses 1 through 9. And I'm sure that you all know how the children of Israel had returned from captivity into Jerusalem to begin rebuilding the temple. And they had, due to some opposition, they had ceased their efforts for 14 years. And we are picking up here now. It's in Haggai chapter 2, verse 1, it says, in the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, a high priest, and to the residue of the people, say, who is left among you that saw the house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. According to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you. Fear ye not. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. And our lesson key is, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And that lesson key comes from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 21. Haggai, the Lord has directed Haggai to go to this people, and we notice here that the people is listed, that is the governor of Judah, the high priest, and the residue of people is who Haggai is to address. That encompasses all of the people, all of the members of the tabernacle, all of the governor of the land, that is the political governor of the land, and the high priest. So all of them are to receive this message here from Haggai. The message is that he is telling those that are the elders, the ones that can remember the temple that Solomon built. He says, look at this temple that you've rebuilt here and compare it to the one that Solomon built. And is it not in your eyes as nothing? That is, this temple here, you look at it And it doesn't really look like much. It's nowhere near as splendid and as glorious as the one that you remember before you went into captivity, the one that the Lord had King Solomon to build. Now, I don't think there ever was a temple as physically appealing as the one that Solomon built. I can't really imagine. If the Bible describes it in detail, all the gold and all the engravings and the various things that was put into that temple, and it sounds really, really nice, really exquisite, ornate, and it's more than I can get my thoughts around. And I think that this temple that they built here is more plain, from what I can understand. It's more functional. It's just a place for them to meet and to perform the service to the Lord. And the Lord is telling them to think about that, to compare those two. And I believe he's directing them to consider things from a earthly standpoint, from a natural man standpoint, and then to think about it from a spiritual standpoint. The point being that from a natural standpoint, it's really not all that important. And to bring that forward to our time today, it's not that important what the building is that we meet in. Now, it's good that we have heat and air and electric lights, and we have windows to keep the cold out and the heat out in the summertime. That's all good. But the truth is, what really matters is how we as God's people meet together, and if His Spirit is with us. That's what the church is today, is a group of baptized believers who have been saved by God and have entered into a church. That the people are the church. And I think that, let's read on down here. He says in the fourth verse, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedek, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." He's telling them, you know, don't worry about the way this looks. Don't worry about the fact that this isn't grand and glorious as what Solomon had built. But be strong, because I am with you. That's the message. If anything else, if you get anything out of my Sunday school lesson today, it's this. Be strong, because the Lord is with you. We often talk about the way things used to be, and I guess I'm kind of bad about that too. We kind of tended to want to live in the past, but we don't have a past any longer. We can remember it and we can draw things from it, but we're in the present, we're in the here and now, and we do have work to do. We've got a great work to do, and the Lord is with us if we will be with Him. He'll be with us if we will desire to have Him with us. I don't want to leave you with the thought that it's just automatic and we don't have to worry about it, because we do need to be concerned with our walk with God. We need to desire to have Him in our lives, and we need to desire to have Him in our church, because if we don't, then if we don't want Him here, He won't be here. And that's pretty plain, but that's the way it is. We as God's people have to put God first in order for Him to dwell among us and to move among us. And that's what the church is. It's not the building. It wasn't in Solomon's time. It wasn't the building. As great as that building was, that wasn't really the temple. It was God's people meeting and serving God. And when that people ceased to meet and serve God in the right manner, and I don't think they quit going to that temple that Solomon had. They continued on there, and they continued with a ritual, in a vain ritual. They offered up the sacrifices, but their heart wasn't in the right spot, and because of that, God caused them to go into captivity. And they went into captivity for a good long while. Well, things haven't changed at all. We as God's people today meet, and we have the choice as to whether we're going to meet and to serve Him in truth and in spirit, or whether we're going to offer up a vain ritual. The outcome will be the same. We may not go into captivity by the hand of the Chinese or some foreign nation. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the Lord has in store. But you can rest assured that if God's people today follows the same path that those Jews followed in Solomon's time. And if God's people offer up a vain sacrifice or just a ritual, just meeting here and going through the motions, if we do that, somehow or the other, we'll go into some type of captivity. The Lord will no longer meet with us. But he's given them hope and encouragement here, and that's what I want us to get today, is hope and encouragement, because God still desires to meet with us. He still desires for us to serve him and to continue forward. And he tells them there to be strong, and I believe he will tell us today to be strong, to continue on. There was just a few people of all the people that, of all the Jews that had been carried away into captivity, there was only the number 50,000 comes to my mind. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I don't know where I got that number. But it is a number that pops into my head. But I think there were, that was a small number in comparison to the number of Jews that were spread across the globe at that time that could have had the opportunity to come back had they desired. And we kind of, in our day and time now, get discouraged sometimes because it seems like we're a few people. But again, be strong because the Lord is with us. And he goes on to say in the fifth verse, according to the word that I covenanted with you when ye came out of Egypt, so my spirit remaineth among you, fear not. The Lord has never broken a promise that he has made. He has never broken the covenant that he has covenanted with his people. And he has said to his people that he would be with us always. And I say us because I know beyond any shadow of a doubt that the Lord saved my soul. And I know that he'll be with me always. The problem that arises is, and I come back to this quite often, is when I allow myself to become separated with him. Now, he's still with me if I turn back to him, but I have that free will. I have that choice to go out and kind of strike out on my own path. And that's an easy thing to do. One thought that came to my mind while I was studying this, a thing that's been a recurring theme here is consider your ways. We've read that quite a few times, and this is getting off subject and kind of going back a little bit, but he has told these people, consider your ways, about why things are occurring and how this is coming about. Well, I kind of think that we as God's people need to take that personally. Take it, not consider the ways of this church, but consider the ways of myself, Terry. And I do that. And the thought came to my mind at first, you know, I look and I think, well, things are pretty good here. You know, I'm doing pretty well. Well, that's not very much consideration. I mean, that wasn't much of a self-examination. And go a little bit deeper, you know, well, okay, maybe there's a little pride there creeping in. You just first off look at yourself and you think everything's okay. There's some pride. Okay, well, that's not okay, so you need to take care of that. And then after that, you start digging a little bit deeper and you see other things. I see other things where I've let the Lord down, where I haven't done what I ought to do. And, you know, you keep digging and you can pretty quickly uncover some things that aren't so good, some problems that you need to deal with in your life, in your personal life. I do. I'm speaking for myself. I don't know. But that goes back to the consider your ways. Consider how you got where you are today. And that's what this people needed to do, to consider their ways. And the Lord told them that. And he will tell us that also, I believe. And yet he still says, my spirit remaineth among you, fear ye not. Because if there's a people that will hear, if there's a people that will consider their ways, he'll be there. And he'll help us through these things. He'll guide us and strengthen us and move us along. He goes on. Hold on, let me make sure I haven't gotten off track too far here. He goes on here to say, and for thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once it is a little while, and I will shake the nations, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, I had to study about that, think about that, because At first, it sounds as if he's talking about the second coming of the Lord, the end of time, but I don't think that's what it is. I believe that he's speaking here of the first coming of Jesus, when Jesus came down to be crucified on the cross. Because he speaks of here as shaking the nations. Well, not physically shaking them so much, but when the Lord came down and he lived his life and he instructed men and he called his disciples and he sent his people out to testify to the world, that changed things. That changed the world, shook things up. Not necessarily so much politically, and it did sometimes politically, but it affects men, it affects people. And he says, I will shake all nations. Well, nations are just people. That's all that is. It's not, I tend to think of a nation as the United States or Canada or Germany or Britain. That's not necessarily right. It's the people that are in those countries. And I think that the word of the Lord goes out and God's people do what they ought to be doing. Countries get shaken up. People get shaken up. They hear that. They come under conviction. They get. They realize the way that they are before God, how they stand before God, and they repent and they're saved. They're shaken there. And then he says, "And I will fill this house with glory," saith the Lord of hosts, not the glory of being covered with gold and silver and fine and things like that, but the glory of the Spirit of the Lord. And that's what we need to seek here. We need to strive to lift up God's name, to lift up Jesus, that his Spirit might be in here and that he might be glorified. That's the place of the church today, and I think that's what this is talking about, that he will fill the church with his Spirit. He goes on to say in the 8th verse, the silver is mine and the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. Now, when you think back to the temple, all the gold and the silver that was in the temple, he's saying here those things were his. They still are his. God is still in control. He still owns everything. All that, those vessels, those golden vessels, they got carried away and we don't know where they are today. The Lord knows where they are. They may have been melted down and turned into some golden calf again or a statue of Buddha. I don't know. But those things are still God's. He can do with them what he will, and he still owns them just as much as he did when they were in the Temple of Solomon. The point there being that nothing was lost as far as God was concerned. He still has those things in control. But he says, the glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and in this place will I give peace, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of the church will be greater than the tabernacle. The opportunity that we have today is a greater opportunity, I believe, than has ever been, than God's people have ever had. We think about how, you read about how thousands of people being saved and baptized, and we have the piece of paper taped up in the glass case out there, and all the people gathered around the river to be baptized. And you think about what a great thing that was and how we would like to get back to those, that thing. There's nothing standing in our way today other than us for that to occur. We have that opportunity. We have this chance to say, as he says here, all ye people of land, saith the Lord, and work. We have the opportunity to work for God. He'll be with us. He says that, I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts. He's still with us today. We still have the opportunity. The glory can be greater now than it was in 1930. It can be greater now than it was in 1950. It can be greater if we as God's people desire that. We say we do. We say that we want to get back to those times. Well, that's what God wants also. So you've got to stop and think, why does it not happen? Because I think that God wants that. I think he wants to save thousands of people. There's not too far to go when you realize that, when you think about that, when you don't blame God for the way that things turn out. I'm just about finished with my lesson. I guess I want to say it again, you know, if nothing else, the fourth verse here is where we as God's people need to be right now, today. We need to be, "Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, saith the Lord, and be strong, O Joshua, son of Josedech, the high priest, and be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work, for I am with you, saith the Lord of hosts." You notice there he didn't leave anybody out. All of God's people needed to be strong. The members, the singers, the preachers, all of us, we need to be strong today for God. We need to serve him. If there's something standing in our way, we need to get it out of the way. We need to turn. If we need to repent, then that's what we need to do. These people, they turned to God. He told them to consider their ways, and they turned back to God. And I think they listened to him. And that's what we as God's people today need to do also. That's all that I have for today. Does anybody have any questions, any comments? Appreciate y'all showing up today. It's good. It's good to be here. Let's keep Brother Arnold in the prayers. Let's keep the prayer request that has been made in the past for the sick. Brother Quinn, would you dismiss us?
Service be to put on, and that we'll understand that the Lord will bring that to us this evening.